Hello, you're listening to Hacker Voice Radio, being recorded live, not really live, because I'm recording it to my iRiver from Hacking at Random 2009 in the Millie Ways tent of the guild where we're in Holland. We've got Crypt, who you remember from previous episodes, and James, who you might remember from IRC and trolling.
Which is very good.
Yeah, sorry, hi, I was on IRC. I wasn't listening.
I find it amazing how quickly hackers slip back into old habits, like sitting stoned in front of an IRC terminal.
Yeah, that's right. I came here and spent all my money on weed and food and sat on FTP servers, and I was like, just like home.
It took us like 320 miles to just realize that wherever we go, we'll always have internet and electricity. And in fact, it's one of the most impressive setups I've seen in a field. There's better infrastructure here at R than there is usually at my house when it comes to internet.
Also, the other thing they don't get at home, which we have to thank the Germans for, is a nice beer.
Yeah, exactly. We got very tasty beer on tap.
Yeah, we got many kegs of beer on tap for free, which is always nice.
Yeah.
So naturally, we have to take advantage.
Yeah.
Some more than others.
So we just have come out of the A5 and GSM decoding and cracking speeches that basically we kind of came here to see. The main aim was to see what that was all about, and it's quite interesting that the original project stopped, but they wouldn't actually disclose what the reasons were, why those guys weren't able to continue with the project and disclose the rainbow tables, but they turned the focus to of the actual intention of how to break the code into a more distributed environment so that everybody at HAR could go and take the source code and start creating the rainbow tables for themselves. That enables the project to continue with no single point of failure, which I think is quite good. And there are probably some crazy bastard out there who has like access to a million FPGA clusters who will be able to do this in like 10 days.
The point you mentioned was they had some difficulties with the board or something like that.
I think the main problem with it is like before, when they had the one group working on it, the one group was able to build their own tables and get to a point where they're able to decrypt GSM. Now, they were obviously silenced in some way. We don't know how that is, we don't know why, but I think we can take a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
And we've got to be thinking how many other people have those tables and how many other people, government or anything
from
like that.
From the talk, basically what I got out of it was the hobbyists are almost there, the commercial surveillance industry is there, and probably any large private black hat group has probably done it already.
Well, the guy worked for Pico before.
What they were saying with the USRP is that they're so very close to getting that that open source hardware and software there. But I think once that is there, anybody with like a couple of £1,000 to spare, I know that sounds like a lot, but anybody with that amount of money can effectively get one of these hardware kits and get this shit, you know, down. And I know the focus of what the guys were talking about was like creating your own base station and then having a lot of unregistered phones connect to it and register to your kind of GSM network. We were all thinking there, we could just do this on live, you know, commercial networks. It would make so much easier. But there is a good point to what they do, because obviously within your own network, whenever you do anything in like in a hacking lab or whenever you virtualize anything, you have the ability to play with the variables that you can't in a commercial network.
Yeah.
So you can change. You can have a known encryption key. And then test against that, which is what they're doing
now. The notebook attack. No, that was the input output stuff.
What's that?
you're saying how the most efficient method of breaking the algorithm is notebook attacks, just monitoring the input and the output and hoping for not many collisions.
And there have been lots of interesting talks like that on you know, different ways to think about things. Although there have been a few like really, really boring talks where people have just read from instruction manuals, and I guess there was a purpose for them too, but I think we were too stoned and too drunk to like be bothered with sitting there. I have to say the chairs there just break my fucking back. Everybody's complaining about that.
Sleeping on the floor and sitting in these horrible chairs, like 50 years on all our backs.
Sorry? Auto make. What, to compile?
I can tell you what I'm saying, which is a debit.
Should be able to just debit.
Make and store.
Yes, no, I found the other thing interesting was the censorship talk yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Where I didn't see that.
No, I actually missed it, but I've heard a lot about it. Apparently, the guy from Microsoft who was supposed to be talking about censorship got censored when someone ran on stage and stole the microphone. And then he got censored when the police arrested him for it. So,
a
bit
of
a
practical example of
practical
censorship.
Fantastic, yeah. But I don't know. There's lots of various different stories about arrests and stuff going around. None of which are...
Yeah, Nick from the US campus was supposedly being arrested for goat buggery, which I have on good grounds from Twitter. Somebody has said that somebody else has said that something else happened. So that must be true.
Twitter is basically the entire news source for the camp. It's just somebody reads something on Twitter
and Facebook.
It's true.
What else has been happening? I mean, the event is really cool. They've got some really cool lights. They've done the power system right, and they've done all these kind of things really good. The toilet facilities have been good as well, although there's been like 40-minute waits for showers and stuff like that.
It's the first festival that I actually feel comfortable taking a shit in the toilet. You know, at every other festival you have to hold it in for 3 days, desperately going, no, I can't go in there, I'm not likely to come out alive.
Exactly.
But these ones are actually reasonable.
And I know that sounds like silly to say it, but it forms part of a vital necessity. I don't know if anybody listening has any kind of experience with psychology, but you have like the pyramid of satisfaction, like the basic thing is like food, shelter and shitting, and then you could have more intellectual things built up on top of it. I can't recall it from memory exactly, but I have seen it and read about it before. And
for anyone listening just then, that was Maslow's pyramid of needs.
Yeah, that's the one. And you know, the basic, you know, one is like having a nice shit, and then you can root some boxes.
I don't know, we've had to turn the music off at about 11 every night, though.
Yeah.
We're in a, like, nature reserve area or something.
Well, we've got, like, three-year-old kids running around in, like, random, Not Muftak, they're running around because Muftak is here. They're not running around in random, they're running around because of Muftak.
They're running
to escape.
In a straight line away from him.
Exactly. And we've also been able to distribute loads of magazines. In fact, I think there's only a few left in the car.
Really?
So we might have to get some more when we next do a round of whatever and get some more of those out. There's like only one in our tent because people have two in our tent, and people have you know, grabbed them. Some have paid for them, some have not.
Yesterday you ended up with 5 extra euros in your pocket.
What? Yeah, well, I said, you know, he said, oh, how much would you ask me for it? And I said, well, I could say, you know, £1 million, but I said, you know, generally what I've been asking for people is like 4 euros, and he said, oh, well, have 5. So, you know, that's cool. Give me a few beers at the bar. Did they do the coin stuff at HAL? They did, didn't they?
Yes. They've done the coin stuff at HAL. What the heck? Basically, they have their own currency here, which is these little plastic coins, because they don't want everywhere to take money.
Yeah.
So essentially, what happened the first night we got here was we got here and we desperately wanted a beer. So the machine they set up to actually take these coins had broken. So we went to the info desk and they didn't have anywhere that could service coins.
Because the guy went home.
We ended up begging on the streets of Haar for someone to change coins
in exchange for,
blowjobs.
And the problem is, you don't know if you want your money all in Harcoins because you're going to be here all day, or if you're going to wander down to the shops or go buy some ganja or something, you need real euros.
Yeah.
And you just have to make sure you switch to Harcoins as you use them.
Amounts. Exactly. And like Cygnus put 50 euros into the machine and it just brought out ones.
Luckily, it was that day. The Germans were giving out free beer.
Yes. Well, they still are.
Yeah, we're never going to run out of beer.
I don't think they can't officially say they're giving it out. It's just there.
Yeah.
And if you choose to use it, then so be it. You know, your own risk. Because I think they have some strict rules about like this kind of beer, alcohol, and distribution on like an industrial scale as it is here.
I think I find it funny if it is illegal, it's being powered by the Dutch police, so you know they can't really complain too much.
Yeah, I think the cannabis consumption in the country spiked at least.
A big pile of
Of course, nothing illegal happens.
you can't buy in the coffee shops about more than about 5 grams at a time because they try and regulate it.
Yeah.
So we have a tent full of about 20 people all wanting
weed. grams. With 5,000.
It's like they just go around to like 4 different coffee shops and buy the maximum amount of people for the maximum amount of weed for the maximum amount of people they have with them.
On a completely separate topic, we're sitting not 15 metres away from the Dutch police forensic service tent.
Yes. But yeah, they came down to the festival. There's also a police van, which is actually part of the organisation because they are paying for the police to be here. That's what I've heard anyway.
Not out of choice though. I mean, like
because they have to because of legal reasons. For I mean, when you do something on this scale, there's like insurance and all this shit, and like there's all this red tape and all that kind of stuff. And that's fair enough. Practically, it's been really cool because you can go to like any one of the larger tents and say, you know, can we have a power cable? And they will lend you one. People are really friendly. There's like kit everywhere, and nobody has that fear of like, oh, I'm gonna leave my laptop here in the middle of a field. It's like if you were in London and just left it on the street, it will not be there when you come back. Or even if you were at 2600, you couldn't really. You couldn't. I mean, even though you trust all the people around you to a certain degree, you can do it. But here, it's a different vibe. So
if I was so criminally inclined and not at this event, you could just walk in.
There's you know, lots of shit everywhere, and that's quite a good thing. It's self-policing.
But yeah, I mean, like everyone's here to look after everyone else. There's no actual people being arseholes around, so it's all sort of like being a really huge atmosphere.
It's an anarchist utopia.
Exactly. Let's see what we can create.
And there's lots of like stuff going on around the infrastructure. The internet infrastructure here is pretty robust. The Wi-Fi has been kind of good, but it's been up and down. We plugged in a switch so that we can just kind of switch out from the network with a wired Ethernet connection, which is a far more stable solution than the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, 5,000 nerds on Wi-Fi
It just goes. unfortunately, but
I've been talking to you on IRC, that's why I'm not responding.
But I mean, it's dead quick. It's a really really fast connection. Even with a very simple tool that goes back to the UK, I can get like a 10 down, 10 up. Sometimes it's been higher. Some people have said that it's been even higher than that. It's been like in the 30s. That's on the wired connection, obviously.
On the wireless network, I'm still hanging around on there because my wired port is broken on my laptop. So it does keep dropping out every few minutes, but generally it's pretty fast. You can get about 2 megaseconds off.
Well, we've had laptop problems. Crypt's laptop is a failing hard drive, which could go at any moment.
I'm just praying it lasts for the next few days.
My EEE PC SSD appeared to die and then come back to life magically overnight.
Yeah, resurrected, yeah. It just needed some chill time. Yeah. It was too high.
It's Gandalf the hard drive.
Yeah. One of the most practical things that I did before I came to the event was create a live USB bootable operating system so that I could use anything that I could find, even obviously my own system, and that saved my ass because my operating system failed to function after I upgraded it to the point that I couldn't do anything with it. So I've just been booting off of that, and James then had his hard disk failed, so he's used my USB live CD to install a permanent operating system on his system. So
see how long it lasts.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's really weird. Like, last night, nothing was reading the drive out of it. I thought it was dead completely. I woke up this morning, and it started booting about halfway, and then about an hour later, I tried again, and it got to a shell.
Yeah.
And then I tried again about another hour later, and it would start X, so it's...
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't me and you have a little bet about whose hard drive's going to last the longest?
Exactly, yeah, we'll put some money in it.
Maybe I could get Dan Kaminsky on it.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Our Kaminsky talk was hilarious.
Yeah. We'll talk. I'm just gonna lower myself down to the ground because I feel that the ground will be more comfortable than this bench for my sore ass as it already is. Not because of Miftak.
Really?
The yes, really, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, for all the freaks out there, we've picked up really strong pager and data networks, although none of them have been analyzed, because we do all this stuff and then we get high and then it's like, oh, I've picked this up, you know, we need to look at this, oh, we need to get a war game server up, oh, let's do this, oh, here's a beer and here's a spliff, and nothing gets done, but lots of things...
It's like, shall we set up a war game server? We could just.
People are getting stern. Nothing gets done.
Yeah, we're like, should we set up a war game server? Nah, let's just get high and then try and root one of our own bots.
Exactly.
Seriously, with the London Hackerspace, you should subscribe to the mailing list and invite Millie Race to the London Hackerspace for a week.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're going to try and plan. You know, something more practical for the UK, because we can't do anything like that on this scale, but
anyone?
You know, at least if we got something organised with some sort of kind of like field, we could do something similar.
That's it.
Oh, fucking weird.
Sorry?
Have you been to the Congress?
Which one?
Chaos Computers.
Oh, CCC. No, I haven't been to... any of them so far.
Yeah.
You should.
Yeah, we're planning on going next year, like same type of trip.
Yeah.
Fucking
does
FTP.
Does anyone have one hand tobacco?
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Thanks, good on.
Mufti has entered the room.
Yes, we're just recording radio show.
Hello.
Fresh from
Hello.
Small boys.
They were very fresh. Indeed. How was?
Did you see Emmanuel Goldstein?
No, I didn't.
They're in competition.
Yeah. Well, the most interesting thing from the talks last night was Dan Kaminsky's bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yeah. And how quickly it reduced to an empty bottle.
He came on stage with a bottle of Jack Daniels. I swear it was almost full, wasn't it? It was like a little bit off the top. And like every time you look up, there'd be another like... half an inch gone from the bottle. By the end of the talk, you have virtually nothing left, yet he still managed to get through his entire talk, which I find respect to the guy, you know, awesome.
He later dropped by the German tent where we're hanging out and proceeded to steal an American's hat.
Yeah, and he also turned up with another bottle of Jack Daniels, which he completely finished.
Another one?
I don't remember this. When was that?
Oh, you went to sleep before he came. Like, we saw him after, like, 4 or 5 hours later. And he was absolutely slaughtered.
But yeah, he stole the other American troll's hat.
Yeah. It's annoying here because we have like two separate camps of people we know with huge fucking sound systems and mixes.
None of us are allowed to use them.
Epic music collections, but at 11 o'clock it's just like volume down.
Yeah. But we should make the most of it, like now, you know, just like pump the sound out during the day.
Yeah, we tried that yesterday and that didn't work when the owner of the campsite came over to one guy's tent and told him, turn it out or you're going to be out off the site. So it's like. They're a bit strict with the music, but then again. Oh well.
It's alright. Just spend the
There's
evening.
Always hard drugs.
Wish we'd been sorely lacking.
Yeah. It's like at one point yesterday we had more cannabis than tobacco ratio.
That was odd. And this morning it's kind of reversed. We have loads of tobacco and no ganja.
Yeah, well, let's watch it to the spa souls. Unfortunately, the spas around here don't quite serve weed yet.
No.
Sucks. Yeah.
But if they did, they'd make a massive profit because everybody'd be going there. And like, I bet all the locals are just like, what the fuck?
Like,
there's so many people on site buying food, buying like bits of salami and bread, and that's it.
Salami, it's also bread, cheese. This is like meant to be the Bible Belt of the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I reckon alcohol sales rates have gone up fucking
2,000. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at least.
So, yeah, I mean, we should do,
How long do you take for the servers? How much time?
War game stuff. But we can't decide what to and how to plan it.
Because
I'm sure if we had some more weed, we would, become chronically clear.
Well, I still got a little bit left I can skin up with.
Sorry?
I still got a little bit left I can skin up with.
I've got some, unofficially, on record.
No. Of course we'd never do anything that. No. It's legal over here anyway, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Not in the industrial quantities.
No, but yeah, the problem with the war games is we want to have just a small little war game with just us, like London HVR guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can either try and just root each other, which, considering we all have fresh updated installs, isn't going to be with no fucking services running on them.
It's not going to work.
Or we could get someone to set up an insecure server, but then that just leaves two players in the game, because obviously the person who set it up knows exactly what the problem is.
Yeah, no, but. Again, that server setting up takes time. We have one right left. I'm guessing that that's probably not going to happen.
We could set up a few services, just all.
Yeah, I could do. I mean, like, I don't mind setting stuff up on my laptop, but it's just like.
Yeah. I mean, I'll run an IRC server or something if you guys want to do Chantaker.
You're saying, it takes so much time to set this up properly, so it's fun. It's more fun to just go out there and root real servers on the internet that are actually there and vulnerable, so that might be more productive and like a lot more fun if you can go, here's this.
But we're gonna do this like two tents down from the Dutch cybercrime squad.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Who's to know?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's doing it, that's why.
We're all on dynamic IPs and change our MAC addresses.
The kind of systems that you'd be breaking into, nobody would even know that you were in them.
Yeah.
Care.
Yeah.
So we come to think that no one would even be able to trace you if they knew someone was coming from here. No one would be able
exactly.
To trace
who could it be? Like, it's a temporary, a pool of people using publicly assigned IP addresses.
I mean, they might be
in
able
a field.
They might be able to block your MAC address from doing it in the future. But they certainly couldn't trace it back to you.
No, I mean, it's not an issue for me doing it from my house. I couldn't give a fuck doing it from a field in Holland.
Yeah.
It's a moot point, really.
The problem is that if it does get traced back and some real shit starts happening, we might not be able to organise an event like this again.
That's true. I suppose so. Yeah.
You know, the only problem I see in that is that obviously we're screwing the organisers over. Organisers are such a huge job in getting this all together.
That's what I was saying before. It's like a mutual trust thing. It's
We
know this network can be owned to fuck and probably is. Just don't take it down. And just let people have the internet access.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple way around that is just to like SSH to a shell. somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do it all
like,
there.
No one here trusts this network.
Yeah.
Everyone here is clever
exactly,
enough to
yeah.
know that it's definitely insecure. So
yeah.
just as long as it's not DDoSed
okay.
or...
But that's the best thing about it, is because everybody knows that it's insecure. They can take their own the risk, you know, with using it, whereas people don't know that certain things that they should... What I'm trying to say is, if you assume something is secure but don't know the mechanisms behind it that make it secure, then you put yourself at more risk, whereas everybody here goes, right, well, anything I do in here potentially could get hacked, even talking to... You know, somebody on my mobile phone on a commercial network practically could be an issue. It makes you rethink everything that you do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about earlier about like nothing, not even sort of like GSM or any kind of encryption is secure around here. I mean, you've got there are certain things like SSL, even with the SSL talk to improve the SSL certificates and that kind of thing is almost sort of like.
Vulnerable, yeah.
It's vulnerable because you can't always trust the certificate of authority and
yeah.
other high-level domains. So it's hackable. Everything's hackable. I think
yeah.
that's the point of this whole event, the point of a lot of the talks, is such a diverse range of subjects
yeah.
that you see the vulnerability yeah. still there. You know that there's a long way to go before we have entirely secure networks.
Hmm.
And maybe we never will.
No, you never will, no.
Yeah.
Because the more levels of complexity that you build into software, the greater the potential for something to be executed or exploited against it.
I think it was in the Scott McIntyre talk that he was saying about how certificate of authorities, like say, they'll give out God certificates
yeah.
to certain domains so they can issue their own certificate of authority. And basically what it comes down to is like, hey, this guy says he's him, this guy says he's him, I'll trust this guy.
Yeah.
It's just, so if you can hack any one of those certificates,
mm.
then you've essentially got a God certificate to say, right, okay, I can prove who I am, this is like from this certificate authority,
yeah.
and you don't know that it's actually not that guy, there's
yeah.
no way of proving it. So everything's hackable.
Even the most unhackable is hackable.
Yeah.
That's been kind of proven here.
I is leak, yo.
The only thing that so far has been hacked, and thankfully probably won't be because it would be detrimental to our skulls, is the duct tape that is holding this dome
fucking
made out of customized steel.
Yeah. 2 tons steel and tarpaulin.
Yeah,
steel held together by duct tape
yeah,
above our heads.
Exactly. It's just the most incredible thing that I've seen that has
yeah.
been customized on this kind of large scale.
And it was set up on like the first day after about 6 beers and a couple
and
of splits.
Nobody set it up before.
yeah.
And it, you know, it's a feat of engineering, and we're hoping that it will still stay like that.
Hoping it's in some very delicate equilibrium, which
yeah.
no one
quite understands.
If you don't see us on IRC or online at any time in the next few days, you probably know what's happened.
Yeah.
But that we got arrested on the way back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We had a full car search on the way here.
Yeah. A full cavity search.
Thankfully not.
No, but they didn't ask us to get out, hands up against the thing, and like.
yeah.
Yeah.
Take a good look at our radio scanner.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They were. I was like, I wonder what they want that for. But I suppose, you know. There's nothing illegal about them, except if they were TX as well. And,
I just find it extremely lucky they didn't find a nuclear bomb in the back of the car.
Smart
yeah.
thinking on our part, taking it out just before we go through the customs.
Exactly, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, don't worry, we're fine. We'll just take out the most obviously dodgy thing. Yeah, exactly.
Before
we got through fucking security, yeah.
Was intense though.
Yeah.
I'm just downloading random German named FTPs from the local web server.
Just hoping that it's
yeah.
something funny.
Hoping it's our music for the night.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So we've also uploaded some super elite source code as well to.
Oh no, it's really fast FTP because it's just on the wire locally.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, there's some pretty interesting stuff in here.
What's the domain name for the FTP server?
I can tell you in a second. Yeah. Fuck knows. Give me 1 second, I'll get back to you.
Okay, while he's getting back to us, I'm thinking about other things to talk about.
Hack mob.
Oh yeah, that old hack hob mob is here. There are the old London 2600 mob is here as well. There were some, for the past few nights there have been some really cool laser shows and stuff like that, and seeing this is going, I don't know, because he spent most of the time in his tent crippled by his back.
KOGGE.har2009.net, and apparently it's also out there in the cloud, so we can access it locally and you can access it from home. So
the interwebs.
KOGGE.har2009.net.
So what I'm going to do is we'll close up now the radio show, and then I'll upload it to the podcast, and people can then download it and maybe access some of those wares and upload some of those wares too. So thanks for listening in on a much delayed episode of Hack Voice Radio. Sorry about the sound quality, but it's all recorded off the iRivers microphone, and maybe we might do another one depending on how lean we get or drunk we get. So tune in for next time. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
Later. Cool. Now I can't get this fucking MGET thing to work.